You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak.
Major wildfire out of control.
The Occupy group.
The Central Valley.
The dry spell Stoner County.
Nevada County.
In today's news network, let's continue the discussion of a strong mayor approach. Co-editor of the Sacramento News and Review, Nick Miller, is in our studio. Welcome.
Hey, Beth. Always good to be here.
We just heard David Nagler and Sacramento Tomorrow's perspective. Your reaction to that perspective?
I mean, they make a good argument, right? They have their talking points. They're on point. The big thing here is you have to just rewind a little bit. This is the most divisive issue that Sacramento has had to deal with in the past 5 years. The one area where it's not divisive is you have me, Marcos Breton, and the Sacramento Bee editorial board, maybe for the first time in the history of the city, all agreeing that this is probably not the right time for it. In April, the city just passed the single largest, most expensive redevelopment project in the history of Sacramento. We're building an arena downtown. We're doing an additional $500 million of redevelopment, new buildings, hotels, housing, nightlife, etc. That was all passed under the normal council mayor system. So the big questions everyone asking now is, you know, we have five new council members who just got on board since 2010. Everyone seems to be getting along. You know, we're reforming how business friendly the city is. We're passing arenas. We're doing all this stuff. Why do we need executive mayor now? Why do we need strong mayor now? And I think that's a fair argument. Why do we need it now?
David's point is five other major cities in California have a similar style of government, and we're looking at the future as opposed to today and positioning ourselves for future decision making.
Well, let's look at the past again, though. Let's look at the past of strong mayor in Sacramento. You know, it was contentious. People were combative with each other. It was an issue that people were, you know, they would look at the mayor and go, what's your motives here? Why are we doing this? I worry that we're going to go back to that place. I mean, when Ryan Lillis of the Bee asked KJ last week, have you looked at Sacramento Tomorrow's strong mayor proposal? He said, no, I haven't even read it yet. And how disingenuous is that? I mean, I fear that that might be the road we go down in the future if we start playing this executive mayor game all over again.
It's interesting going forward to put it to the voters. That's the ultimate test of it, isn't it? So what would be wrong with at least putting it to the voters and letting the public speak about their own city?
It's an argument of convenience. I mean, you want to put strong mayor to the voters, but you don't want to put the single largest subsidy in the history of Sacramento to the voters, a.k.a. the arena. To me, it's convenient on one hand and inconvenient at another time. Tonight the council is going to debate whether to kick this back to staff and explore some things. I mean, there are some sort of big red flag issues. The biggest, I think, being that there would only be 8 votes each week at city council and that the mayor would be the tiebreaker if there was ever a 4-4 vote. That's complicated. I don't see a lot of council members going for that. So if they do kick it back to staff, that's going to be a huge thing they want to fix. But that takes time. You know, Sacramento Tomorrow is proposing that they have a redistricting committee that, if approved over the next 5 years, would look at redistricting. Maybe we go down to 7 council members. Maybe we go down to 9 plus the mayor. I don't see how we do any redistricting before November 2014 when this is allegedly going to be going on the ballot if it is approved.
I don't think this is a predictable issue on the city council. Do you? Because some city council members, including Steve Cohn, have been back and forth on it. I'm not clear where the vote is. Are you?
I think they kick it back to staff tonight.
Do you? Okay.
I think he has the 5 votes with Alan Warren joining council last year. I think that's his 5th vote. I think Cohn votes for it again. Cohn is running for state assembly, and I don't think he wants to establish a reputation of jumping over the fence on this issue. I think he needs to figure out where he stands. I think they kick it back to staff tonight.
Okay. And then going forward, David described the mundane decisions, just from a structural standpoint, do you like the idea parallel to, let's say, state government, where the council body comes up with the legislation and kicks it to the boss, who can sign or veto, and then there's an override?
I don't like the idea of the mayor having a line item veto. I don't like the idea of the mayor being able to hire and fire the city manager. I think for all our criticisms at News and Review that we had of John Shirey when he came aboard, he's been quite effective. He's been a collaborator. I don't see why you want to disrupt that. So, yeah, no, I have some strong disagreements with some of those executive powers.
Okay, if it goes to a vote, what do you think the public will say on this?
Well, if they kick it, it sounds like because of state law that was just inked by Jerry Brown, it'll be in November. So it won't sort of be this referendum on KJ and his leadership where you have the arena and strong mayor on the same ballot. I think there's a lot of money behind strong mayor. I think it'll pass if it goes in November.
You do. Mm. Marcus Bertone said he didn't know how he would vote on it. So it'll be an interesting to be continued after tonight. Let's switch to a couple other issues because I do want to talk about this issue of feeding or specifically not feeding the homeless people in city parks right now. And I am speaking with Nick Miller, who's co-editor of the Sacramento News and Review. Can you talk about what's happening? And this is specifically Food Not Bombs, this group that's been feeding for a long time.
Yeah, they've been. It's called Food Not Bombs. They're a nonprofit. They have 500 chapters nationwide. Here in Sacramento, they've been feeding hungry citizens every Sunday at 1:30 in the afternoon in downtown Cesar Chavez Park for 20 years. Mm. So every Sunday they bring a vegetarian meal. They feed more than 100 people. Some people are homeless citizens. Some people are just low-income residents of downtown. Anyways, on October 6th, they were told by city police that they would no longer be able to provide food to the homeless people and that if they tried to feed them, they would confiscate their food and their pamphlets that they pass out. The reasoning behind this is the city is trying to cut back on homeless feedings downtown. They've been targeting church groups that feed in the Alkali Flat neighborhood and the river districts near Loaves and Fishes. The argument being that it's unorganized, it leaves a lot of mess afterwards. And then they're even citing food safety issues, that this food could have, people could get food poisoning from it, you know, that they don't have proper health permits to do this. So on one hand, you have a company, organization that's been doing it for 20 years, feeding hungry people, and then you have sort of the city law that's on the books, you know, they're trying to enforce code for the first time in 20 years, and it's really strange. A couple of local civil rights attorneys are saying, well, you can't do this. What they're doing, feeding the hungry, is a First Amendment right. It's a political expression for their group, just like a religious group. You know, it's part of their mission. It's a First Amendment issue. The city's saying, well, we're just trying to enforce code. You know, this is messy. That we don't know if this food is safe.
So you said October 6th they stopped it. What happened this Sunday, the 13th?
They showed up, police again. Probably about a dozen officers, and they stood back this time, but they videotaped and took pictures of all the participants. Food Not Bombs had 5 volunteers on October 6th. This past weekend, they had dozens of people show up to support what they were doing. So the city police department stood down. I spoke with the police spokesman Doug Morse. He said, well, you know, we're just right now trying to educate these people that this is, you need health permits to do this. You know, this is against city code. You need a permit to do this. So, you know, they're not arresting anyone. They haven't detained anyone. But I think there is a showdown on the horizon over this. And
all right. And it's a story you're working on or just came out in this.
It'll be out this week. And I have some blog on our blog at newsreview.com/pageburner.
Okay. Thanks, Nick. Let's hit one more quick item. And that is young adults right now are supposed to be signing up for Covered California if the system under the Affordable Care Act is going to work. What do you know about whether young adults are going for this?
Well, we've been talking to a lot of young adults, you know, people who make maybe $30,000, $40,000 a year, ages 25 to 40. And the big question is, if you haven't had health insurance, will you incur the expense of $200 to $350 a month to now have health insurance? And it's a mixed bag, the response that we've been getting from people. Some people are like, well, I don't know. That's $3,600 a year that I could use to go to Europe or Hawaii, and I'm healthy, and you know, maybe I'll roll the dice. The problem with the Affordable Care Act is for the insurance companies, the deal is, you know, we're taking more people with chronic health conditions into putting them on the books. We need more healthy young adults to balance it out, to make it work. And it's a real unknown. Even when you talk to the experts over at Sierra Health Foundation, or, you know, they're worried. They don't know how it's going to play out.
Is that 26 and under group seeming to stay on parents' health insurance?
I would, right? Wouldn't you? That's a sweet deal.
Hey, I'm carrying one, too. All right, Nick, thanks. It's always good to touch base with you.
Yeah, great to see you.
All right, that's Nick Miller, co-editor of the Sacramento News and Review. And by the way, we do have a link to the News and Review on our website, so you can jump on and see some of the stories we're talking about. That's at capradio.org/insight. This is Insight on Capital Public Radio. And just ahead, a real change of gears, we're going to talk about your winter garden next.